The title of this discourse, brethren, is When the Payment is Made. When the payment is made. The purpose behind this discourse is for your encouragement, for your strength, to build you up, to make you ready for the work that is before you, to help you, as Brother Mark brought out in his opening remarks, to make your calling and election sure. And from that standpoint, we're going to look at some very positive aspects of what is before us. Now, whenever you look into the future, a certain amount of it has to be done with the eye of speculation, of understanding what might come based upon what you do know. And so we're going to look at the future when the payment is made from this standpoint. And we hope that this will be a blessing for you. We realize that not everybody in their studies will have come to the same conclusion. But we hope that some of the thoughts that we express will help you to come to this conclusion that helps you to harmonize every statement of the Scriptures. Brother Laddie loves that statement in the first volume. It's one of my favorite. No system of theology has attempted to harmonize in itself every statement in the Scriptures, yet nothing short of that do we claim for the views herein presented. That's the words of our pastor. And we want to be in harmony with that. So as we look at these things, we're going to look at it from that standpoint. And where you may disagree with me on some things, please come to me and talk to me about it. I would enjoy very much the fellowship along that lines. Now we're going to lay a foundation for what we're going to talk about. And I'm going to make basically seven little statements here. And I think each one of us will agree with this foundation that we're laying. The first point that we would make is that man was created perfect. I don't think there's any question about that. The second is that man sinned. And we have evidence of that all around us. There. The penalty for that sin that Adam committed was dying, thou shalt die. In addition to that penalty, and we want to remember these statements because we're going to come back and build a case based upon these statements. In addition to the penalty that dying, thou shalt die, we also remember that the earth was cursed. Not because the earth sinned, but cursed for man's sake. And that's important to look at it from that standpoint. Cursed for man's sake. The third point that we would make is that Christ, Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, laid down his life at the River Jordan as a ransom for Adam. And very specifically, we're saying a ransom for Adam. That again becomes very important. Each one of these points as we look at them will fit into this picture that we are trying to draw. The fifth point is a very simple one, and one that we all know is correct. But we want to remember this as we make a discussion on this. God is just. The sixth point. There are three ways that are brought to our attention in the Bible. The broad way that leads to destruction, the narrow way that leads to life, and the highway of holiness. These three ways are brought to our attention in the Scriptures. Again, that will play a very important part in our discussion. The last point I'm going to make is simply this. This chart that you have in front of you is correct. There has been a lot of discussion over the years as to who is responsible for first putting this chart together, as the case may be. Brethren, the point we would make in reference to this chart being correct is that this is the vision. And it's not man's vision. It's not Brother Russell's vision. It's not my vision. It's God's vision. And we want to look at this chart from God's standpoint, from our Father's standpoint. And when we do so, we will find that the chart is correct. Those are the 7 points as a foundation that we're going to build on. Now, your speaker is well aware of the fact that there are a boatload of different views pertaining to the period of time that we're going to be talking about. As an example, some will look at this chart and say Jacob's trouble is to the right of the dotted line. Others will look at the chart and say, no, Jacob's trouble is to the left of the dotted line. I was talking to an individual just this last week, and this individual said, no, Jacob's trouble is right on the dotted line. So there's 3 points right there. Some feel the dotted line is future. Some feel the dotted line is past, is a past event. Some feel that the ancient worthies are raised from the dead before the dotted line. Some feel that the ancient worthies are raised from the dead after the dotted line. The Great Pyramid of the Mediatorial reign is a finished picture. Others feel that the Mediatorial reign is a progressive picture. And still others feel that the Mediatorial reign is the vision as God looks upon it during the Mediatorial reign. Some feel that the highway begins on plane R and proceeds upward and reaches its conclusion at the end of October, or at the end of 2874. Others feel that the highway begins at the dotted line and is illustrated on plane N and continues forever. One has a choice as to when and where, whether they get on the highway or not. Others feel that there is no choice in getting as to whether a person gets on the highway of holiness. Another point is that the new covenant is made with the house of Israel, or with those of Israel that are living through the time of trouble and with the ancient worthies. Others feel that the new covenant is made with each individual as they choose to come under it. Another point, Adamic death ends at the dotted line. Another point, Adamic death continues after the dotted line. These are all points that individuals have expressed to me as I have discussed with them various parts of this subject. Two more. Mankind does not receive any justification until the end of the Mediatorial reign. Others feel that once the ransom price is paid over, mankind is viewed by God as being justified. Now, much can be said in reference to all these things, and we're going to address little parts of them. It's impossible for us to address everything that we've even begin to talk about in this short period of time that we have. We're not going to specifically talk about the trouble that is before us. Brethren, we're loaded down with trouble. We're loaded down with old age, with health problems, financial problems, social problems, ecclesiastical problems, problems within the truth movement, and all the other problems that go along with that. We're not going to specifically talk about that, maybe touch on just little aspects of it. The question is, what is before us? When we look at the chart of the ages, as far as the future is concerned, what do you see? I mean, it's just a little drawing. What do you see? Your speaker sees two great events before us that causes him to press on, that causes him to strive to be more faithful in his covenant of sacrifice, to look beyond the trouble and to realize that the permission of evil is both educational and preparatory for the ushering of the world of mankind into the golden age of prophecy. That's the first page of the first volume, the frontal page. The first thing that I see, brethren, is that we are almost there. We are almost there. Friends, at the end of the sixth creative day, our Father said, as he looked at all that he had accomplished, he said, "It is very good." The first of the two great events in your speaker's mind is the end of the seventh creative day, when our Lord will turn back to his Father the completed work. You remember that all things were put into his hands from the very beginning of this creative day. Adam and his children will be perfect in every sense of the word, and each will be at one with their Heavenly Father. Isn't that something to look forward to? Isn't that our joy? And friends, we are almost there. Now, I like to use illustrations. And if you look at this blank wall, well, it's not completely blank, but if you look at this blank, fairly blank wall behind us, you'll notice that it's divided into eight sections. Actually, there's nine sections there, because there's a little 10-inch section over here on the end. Now, I want you to picture this wall and say, this wall represents 7,000 years. We are almost there. We're almost to 2874. When you stop and think about it, when you look at all that has been accomplished in the past. Now, each one of these panels behind me is 44 inches in width. Okay. Now, if you divide or take 44 and multiply that times 8 and then divide it by 7,000, you come up with a interesting little fact that there are exactly 862 years left before 2874. Just 862 years. By the way, do you realize that's a shorter period of time than Adam lived here upon the earth? It's just a short period of time. We're almost there. And so, 44 inches, when you take this entire wall and you break it down, is equal to about the period of time to within a half an inch of the time that we have left. So, take a look at this last section of the wall here. This is 44 inches. This is 10 inches over here. So that if and providing about where, right where the dot is, the little red dot, is on the wall, that's the only distance left until God, our Father, says, it is very, very good. The time is short. And the interesting part, brethren, is that the second great event is even closer. I think in terms of illustration. I look in my mind and picture things. And being just that far from the seventh creative day being end is what spurs me on and encourages me when everything else around seems to be failing. If there was joy in heaven when our Lord was born, if there was joy in heaven where the angels sang when our Lord was born, think of the explosion of joy when the Father's work is finished. And if faithful, brethren, we'll have the privilege of being part of that. The second event that I spoke about in my mind, the second future event, is that of the dotted line. I believe the dotted line is yet future. Now, not everyone will agree with me on that. I believe the dotted line is at the end of the gospel harvest. That is what is shown on the chart of the ages. The more that I study this chart, the greater is my appreciation for this moment in time. This moment in time that is referred to as the dotted line. Lots of discussions have been had on this. But stop and think about all the things that are related to that dotted line. It's not just the end of the gospel age. It is the beginning of the fulfillment of a prayer that has been uttered literally millions of times every day by those that understood it and those that did not understand it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is the beginning also of something else that has been prayed for. That is peace on earth. Using the chart of the ages that we have before us here, let us summarize the points that I would like to make today. I'm going to summarize these points. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to say. And then we're going to discuss what I've said. Okay? When I look at the dotted line, my mind is absolutely flooded with thoughts of joy. To me, the number one thing that I think about is the fact that at this dotted line is the moment that Christ pays over the price to our Heavenly Father and satisfied justice. The title of our talk, The Price Has Been Paid at the dotted line. What that thought translates into, brethren, is this, that not only is the price paid at that moment in time, but at that moment in time, the present evil world that is expressed here Okay? This is the world that was. This is the present evil world. At that particular time, the present evil world ends. Hooray! We long for it. We look forward to it. What that statement means is not only does a present evil world end, but also the broad road to destruction ends there. Mankind was placed on the broad road to destruction when Adam sinned. If the broad road to destruction ends there, and if the price has been paid, then that means that the penalty has been satisfied. Dying thou shalt die has to end. God cannot permit that which has been paid for to continue on. Dying thou shalt die, for Adam's sin ends at that point. The price will have been paid. In addition to all this, that will mean that our journey will be finished. The church will be complete. And that is pictured right here on the chart of the ages, on the left side of the dotted line. The church class will be complete. In addition to the church class being complete, so will the great company class be complete. The work of dealing with them will have been finished. The sacrificial work will no longer be there. It will be over. Hooray. The chart of the ages is very distinct. It shows that plane M, this is plane M, ends at the dotted line. Spirit begetto ends. And therefore, none can be begotten of the Spirit from that point on to be part of the gospel church. What that translates into is that at that point, not only will the harvest be, age be over, the harvest of the gospel age will be ended, but in addition, the work of the harvest of the gospel age will be over. Now, why do I make that distinction? Because the pastor makes that distinction. He very distinctly brings you out this whole paragraph, or this whole chapter, on the age, the gospel age, and the harvest of the gospel age. Specifically, the harvest of the gospel age. And then he talks about the work, and all that will be done. Again, hooray! Because then the blessings can come. Just one little other feature. No, there's a couple other features, come to think about it. That little dotted line has a lot to it. But stop and think. Tentative justification during the gospel age will also end. And therefore, this entire class that is represented here on plane N will end. That tentative class will no longer be. Our last point. The time of trouble. This little period of time that is all shaded, and if you take a very close look at it, it looks like a figure one in its shaded area. That shows that the dotted line brings it into the time of trouble. I appreciated at a recent convention or a recent gathering study that it was stated that on the left side of the dotted line, you had no peace. On the right side of the dotted line, you had peace. The time of trouble will have ended. That doesn't say that there won't be trouble during the mediatorial phase of the kingdom. It's not saying that at all. It's saying that the time of trouble that will bring the world of mankind to that golden age of prophecy will have ended. So summarizing, the present evil world will end, the gospel age will end, the gospel harvest will end, the broad road to destruction ends, spirit begettal ends, the church class is complete, the great company class is complete, the tentatively justified class no longer exists, and the time of trouble is ended. And yet there is more. When the ransom price is paid over, brethren, that will mean that the sin offering has been provided. You remember that the sin offering is for the purpose of taking the ransomed race and bringing them up to perfection, to at one with God. It's all about atonement. That's what we learn in the tabernacle study. The sin offering is to bless the people for the ensuing period of time under a priesthood that will bless and keep them, instruct them, correct them, and make them perfect. Just some little additional features, as the case may be. At this dotted line, something else will have occurred, and that is that the earth will have been prepared for mankind. We are living in the times of restitution. Restitution of the earth is possible, not because the ransom has been paid or provided, but because the fact that Jesus Christ kept the law perfectly. By keeping the law perfectly, he became king of the earth. And therefore, when he returned in 1874, he had a right to the earth, and he had a right to bring it back to a condition where mankind could live on it, to restore it. Restitution was possible because of one fact, and that is that Jesus kept the law perfectly. He was faithful. And at the dotted line, the earth will be prepared for mankind. The mediator class will have been completed. That's the church, head and body. And the mediator class will be in place. The new covenant will have been established. And I may get into some trouble by saying that. At the dotted line, the new covenant will be in place. We'll talk about that some more. Okay? The pastor brings to our attention that the ancient worthies will come forth, I believe, at the dotted line or shortly thereafter. And the ancient worthies are under the new covenant. Therefore, the new covenant has to be in place. The ancient worthies are under the new covenant. I'll get myself in trouble with the next one also. The human race will have justification. We'll talk about that some more too. Let me plant that in your mind. The human race will have justification. And the last one that will get me into trouble is the highway will be the only way. If the Broadway ends and there are only three ways, that leaves just one way left, and that is the highway. We will talk more about that also. This is what I see before us, brethren, and it is a reason for each of you, of each of us, to want to lay down our life in sacrifice. It is the next great event for us and for the world of mankind. Okay. A whole bunch of statements made. Let's go back and lay a foundation for those statements. Back in time, you see Moses. And Moses is on his way down out of the mountain. He has been in the mountain. He has been talking with God. What does Moses have with him? First of all, he has the tables of the law. This is the second time that he comes down on the mountain. Okay? He has the tables of the law. And so he comes down out of the mountain and he presents these laws to the people. He reads them to them. And he says, this is the law of God that he has made with you. This is the covenant that God has made with you. And then he sprinkles both the tables of the law and the people with blood. You got the picture. Now, what does that mean? Brethren, I suggest what that means very simply is this, that from the very moment in time that the people were sprinkled with blood and the law was sprinkled, Israel, as a nation, every single one of them was expected to keep that law. That was a covenant that was made by God with them, and they were expected to keep it. No exceptions. The child that was born on the following day was not there to hear that law read to him. But he was expected to keep that law. And all those Israelites from that point on were expected to keep the law, even if they were not at the mountain at the time. They were under that covenant. Whether they heard it read to them or not at that point, they were under that covenant as a nation and subject to the conditions of that covenant. That covenant covered them every one of them, bless them all, and also condemn them all. The sprinkling of the law and the people symbolically said that typically justice was satisfied, and typically they were justified for the ensuing year. For 1 year, it was only a type. But they had a justified standing for that coming year. Let me use different words to say the same thing, because I think this is a very important point in our discussion. The sprinkling of the law showed that typical justification was satisfied. And because justification was typically satisfied, the sprinkling of people with the blood of the same animals typically said that the people's sins were covered for the coming year. And because their sins were typically covered, they could have this relationship with God for that year to come. The people of Israel, typical people, under the mediatorial arrangement of God, that is, under Moses, are illustrated on the chart of the ages as living on a higher way of life than the world of mankind. Plane P compared to plane R, on a higher plane of life. The only question that existed was whether they would be obedient while on that plane, that higher plane of life. Would they be obedient or would they not? It was not a question as to whether they had this standing. It was not a question as to whether they were under covenant relationship. It was a question as to whether under that covenant relationship they would be obedient. And it is a matter of history. According to Jeremiah 31:32, the record is there. The record says very clearly which covenant they break. Let me read it. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. Notice it says with their fathers. Everyone was under it. The covenant was made with the fathers. Okay? In the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt, symbolically picturing the present evil world. Which covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them. A husband is one who takes care of those that are under him, that provides every need that they have, including protection. And the record is that they broke that covenant that they were under. As we look at the record of the Old Testament, it shows that the Lord provided a priesthood for them. One might say that the Lord provided for Israel a greater mediator in the priesthood, the typical priesthood, to provide atonement, to provide instructions, to provide intercession for them for that coming year. And finally, the purpose behind that priesthood was to lead them to the great high priest, Jesus Christ. So let me sum up this typical picture that we have before us. I think that it did not matter whether the people said all that the Lord has said we will do or not, because everybody the following day that came into or under that covenant was expected to. And they never said all that the Lord has said that we will do. That isn't the point That isn't the focus of this. The focus is that God made this covenant with them and they were under it. Now, having gone through this typical picture, let's take a look at the day when the price will be paid over to justice. Let's look down here at this end of the time, age, and I believe the dotted line. If we go to the fifth volume, the foreword, we read, "Not until all the spirit-begotten ones shall have been passed into death will the merit of Christ, placed on deposit in the hands of justice when he died, and mortgaged in the interest of the church, be released from that mortgage and be ready for full application in the purchase of Adam and his race under the terms of the new covenant." Now, what this is saying, in my understanding, is the application of the merit of the ransom sacrifice was typed by the application of the blood by Moses on the tables of the law. The application of the blood in that type typically satisfied justice. On the day, at the very moment that Christ pays that price over to justice, justice will be satisfied. That's what I understand by this statement. When he says that it will be released from the mortgage and be ready for the application of purchasing Adam and his race under the terms of the new covenant. Note further what he says in the fifth volume forward. When this, and I'm quoting, okay, "When this ransom price shall have been formally delivered over to justice in the end of this age." What age is he talking about? He's talking about this gospel age, okay? In the end of the gospel age, during the harvest time. He says, "When this ransom price shall have been formally delivered over to justice in the end of this age, it will be no longer a deposit at the command of the Savior, but will have been exchanged for Adam and his race." And then note this little three-letter word. All. Remember, Brother Thompson? What part of all don't you understand? All of whom? All of Adam and his race. All of whom will be, and note this word, immediately transferred by the Father to the Son. Immediately transferred by the Father to the Son. "Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance." He continues with a statement. All of whom will be immediately transferred by the Father to the Son, that his millennial kingdom may begin and all the family of the earth be subject to the Redeemer. What that is saying, brethren, is that all the families of the earth will be subject to the Redeemer and his law that he lays down, pictured by the new law covenant. They will all be subject to the Redeemer, that he may uplift them out of sin and death's condition to all that was lost in Adam, to all which Christ died to regain for mankind. For man, I'm sorry. I added a word there. Okay, end of quotation. The point is, the ransom price is exchanged for Adam and his race. Remember in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, where it says, "I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." I believe that at this dotted line, when the ransom price is paid over, and the race is immediately turned over to Christ, and is subject to his law, to the new covenant, that at that point in time, we can say that the Adamic sin has been forgiven. And God remembers their sin no more. Hallelujah. That's what we look forward to, brethren. This says that Adam and his race are immediately transferred by the Father to his Son. What that translates to your speaker is this, that our Lord, head and body, becomes their mediator. They are under Christ. It says that his millennial kingdom may begin. The mediatorial kingdom. We already realize that the 1,000-year kingdom has begun, that the Lord has returned, and he is reigning. But this is talking about the mediatorial kingdom, that it may begin, and the antitypical priesthood will be in place to bring the world of mankind up the highway of holiness. It says, all the families of the earth will be subject to the Son, and we believe unto the law of the new covenant. Under the law covenant and all its provisions. Remember that the law covenant was delivered to the people on that very day that Moses came down out of the mountain. And they were subject to that law from then on. There's so much more to this, brethren. Let's talk about the subject of justification just for a minute. Justification is another one of those subjects that I dearly love. I appreciate so much the tabernacle from this standpoint. In the type, Moses sprinkled the people and they immediately were typically justified, as represented by this plain P. Okay? In the antitype, when our Lord applies the merit of the blood on behalf of Adam's sin, their sins are forgiven. If God is just, could he possibly, even for a moment, hold anybody responsible for Adamic sin after the price has been paid? I don't think so. I think it would be unjust on God's part. It would be like you going out and buying a house, and after you had the house for a month, a person comes back and says, no, I want to live here for the next 2 years. That wouldn't be right. Not unless it was in some kind of contract. But if the house was paid for, it belongs to you. In this case, the human race has been bought by our Lord. Now, some brethren object to our saying that mankind will have justification during the mediatorial phase of the kingdom. However, I ask you, is it possible? Let me back up just a minute here. What happens to an individual that does not hear that prophet? He's cut off, right? What does that mean? He loses his life, right? Okay. How is it possible that one could die the second death during the mediatorial phase of the kingdom if they do not have the same standing that Adam had when he was condemned? Is it possible that one could die the second death if they do not have that same standing that Adam had? The whole foundation of our understanding of the ransom is that Christ paid the price for Adam, thus releasing mankind from Adamic condemnation. I am not saying that the effects of the Adamic condemnation will not be there during the mediatorial phase of the kingdom. I'm saying Adamic condemnation will have ended. No longer will man die daily. No longer will mankind get up in the morning and have a stomach that is sick, a head that hurts, and etc. and so on. From the moment the price is paid over, it will no longer be said the father has eaten the sour grape and the children's teeth are set on edge. Each will suffer the consequence of their own sin during that period of time. Yet each will have a merciful and loving high priest, a mediator that will stand between them and God. Now, there are various versions of the chart of the ages. And there are various thoughts pertaining to the highway of holiness. Our understanding of the chart of the ages is that this plane N represents a plane of perfect human perfection, of human perfection. We know that not everybody on there that is represented on there is perfect. But that's one of the definitions that the pastor has given us. And I agree with it. We know also that the pastor defines this as the plane of justification. Plane N. What plane N does not illustrate is complete experience. Not until the very end. This is what the pastor says about justification in the sixth volume forward. And we normally look at this statement from the standpoint of now. And we have to admit that part of it refers to now. But listen carefully to every word. It says, fortunate it is for the masses who have heard of Jesus and partially believed, that's now, okay, that their standing with the Lord is not that of full justification. That he refuses to fully justify any until they have become by covenant, his disciples, his footstep followers. Again, that's referring to now. This is because justification can come only once, remember the statement, only once to each individual. And if he should misuse that justification and fail to get eternal life, he would be in a worse state than if he had never been justified. If not justified and spirit begotten in the present time, he is not of the church. Listen carefully. But will have a share in the merit of Christ's sacrifice and in the justification which the kingdom will offer to every member of the human race. The justification which the kingdom will offer to every member of the human race aside from the church. The church receiving that better thing which God had in reservation for them that love him, glory, honor, and immortality. The divine nature. A word in closing about the highway, and there's much more I'd like to say. I'd like to get into supposed objections. I love it how the pastor deals with supposed objections. Let's look at the highway just for a moment here. In Isaiah 35th chapter, it says a highway will be there. And the key point in reference to this highway, and I personally like to take it outside of the concept of being a roadway and look at it as being a higher way under a better mediator. The key point is the ransomed of the Lord shall return. The ransom of the Lord shall return on this. The purpose of the highway is for the ransom of the Lord. Who are the ransomed of the Lord? All of Adam's race, with rare exception. That's the ransom of the Lord. The highway is for the ransom of the Lord, and they shall return. Now, my time is up, and I'd like to just close with a point here in reference to the chart of the ages. The chart that you have in front of you does not have this on. I have to jump ahead. If you go back to the original 1917 chart, when I say 1917 chart, remember that's the chart in the first volume the pastor sent to the printer in October 1916, just before he died. And it was printed and distributed early in 1917. But if you look at that original chart, there is a statement that is made. And I think it's very important that we go back to that statement so that we understand the highway of holiness. And we understand the great pyramid that is pictured during the mediatorial phase of the kingdom. The statement is very simply this on that chart. It says, chart of the ages, illustrating the plan of God for the bringing, that brings many sons to glory, and his purpose in regards to the administration of the fullness of the appointed time to reunite all those under one head, even under the anointed one, the things in heaven and the things on earth under him. Ephesians 1:10. That's the text. Now, there are some that believe that this great pyramid that is shown in the mediatorial phase of the kingdom is a finished picture. I disagree with that. And I'll tell you, I disagree with it outwardly. That is a picture of the work under the mediator. Where's the mediator? Right up here in top. That is a picture under the mediator. At the end of the mediatorial phase of the kingdom, 2874, the finished picture will be just like this one right here. A complete pyramid. A. Right up here at the very beginning. That will be the finished picture. Because Christ, as the mediator, will have stepped aside. He will no longer be there. This point that the pastor makes in reference to Ephesians 1:10 says to reunite all of those under one head, even under the anointed one. That head will have stepped aside in the finished picture. Hooray! Man will be king. God's work will be complete.